ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः।
ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः।
ॐ यश्चन्दसां ऋषभो विश्वरूपः। सूर्यो भ्राजो दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः।
ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः।
साङ्ख्ययोगो नाम द्वितीयोऽध्यायः श्रीभगवानुवाच अशोच्यानन्वशोचस्त्वम् प्रज्ञावादांश्च भाषसे गतासो न गतासोंश्च नानशोचन्ति पण्डिताः अशोच्यानन्वशोचस्त्वम् प्रज्ञावादांश्च भाषसे गतासो न गतासोंश्च नानशोचन्ति पण्डिताः न त्वेवाहं जातु नासम् न त्वं नेमे जनाधिपाः न चैव न भविष्यामः सर्वे वयमतः परम् देहिनोऽस्मिन्यथा देहे कौमारं यौवनं जरा तथा देहान्तरप्राप्तिः धीरस्तत्र न मुह्यति मात्रा स्पर्शास्तु कौन्तेय शीतोष्णसुखदुःखदाः आगमापाहिनो नित्याः ताम् स्थितिक्षस्व भारत यं हि न व्यथयन्त्येते पुरुषं पुरुषर्षभ समदुःखसुखं धीरं सोऽमृतत्वाय कल्पते नासतो विद्यते भावः नाभावो विद्यते सतः नाभावो विद्यते सतः उभयोरपि दृष्टोऽन्तः त्वनयोस्तत्त्वदर्शिभिः नासतो विद्यते भावः नाभावो विद्यते सतः उभयोरपि दृष्टोऽन्तः त्वनयोस्तत्त्वदर्शिभिः. We have to have some Simha Avalokanam. Simha Avalokanam, I told you many times in the class, turning your head behind and seeing, okay, what is behind. Reviewing, okay. We have to remember to understand what to see the connection between what you are going to do today. You have to see what has been done before earlier. It's called Simhavalokana. Okay? In teaching, we have a given Nyaya. It's called Simha Avalokana Nyayaha. Simha Avalokana Nyayaha means it is method. Okay? It's a method followed in teaching. We have many Nyayas. Okay? Like I told you once, Thano Nikhanana Nyaya, Shakha Chandra Nyaya. We have many Nyayas like that. And here one Nyaya is Simha Avalokana Nyayaha. I might have told you in the class, sometime before, in some other class, but because you don't seem to be remembering, I can repeat it, no problem. So Simhaha, you know, lion, in the forest, see whether we have noticed or not, we would have seen the lion also. The real lion, how it lives in the forest, our rishis are great observers. I told you one must have a lot of inner leisure to see and appreciate and observe and learn. Okay? So they must have followed it. Like how they found Urvarukam, how it detaches itself and becomes ripe. You should see. How can you say that? You should have seen, observed it. And to observe things and to learn something from there, my God, we must have a lot of, you know, inner leisure. It's not possible otherwise. So the Simha Avalokana, Simha walks, it's very majestic, you know, it walks. And don't ask whether I've seen. I've seen the pictures, okay? And I see movies I've seen, how the lion walks. Maybe when I was young, So the lion walks, and when it walks little bit, and then turns its head, without moving its whole body, it turns its head and see behind whether any hunter is around. At the same time, also see whether any food is available, any deer is available, it walk. And stop, it will see, and any other simple animal, it finds, jump and then eat it. If it assumes any suspicion about any hunter around, it will walk, run fast. Okay, that is very clever animal, Simhaha. And it's called Simha Avalokanam. Simha Yatha Avalokayati. It sees. Like that. And then again it will walk. Again walk for some distance. It will stand, stop, and then it will turn again. Again avalokayati, again punaha chalati. That is how the Simhaha moves. Otherwise, learning also, we were studying, we stop on point and we see what we have seen earlier before. Okay? And from there, we stop and then we continue. So that we will know the connection between what has been said before, what is going to be said today. is another connection. It's called Simhavalokanam. Reviewing. Otherwise, simple word is reviewing. Review is called Simhavalokan, Nyaya. Anyway, so here, we know what Krishna is doing now. Krishna started teaching Arjuna from the 11th verse, Tvam Shabda Arthaha. Okay, Tvam Shabda Arthaha means Tvam Shabdasya Lakshartham. First, the implied meaning of the word Tvam. He started explaining, and there, why should he do that? Because it's very clear what is that which causes sorrow. Arjuna asked for the solution, that he wanted to know that which will free him from sorrow. That the ekam nischitya vada, because he asked, he started teaching. So there, the truth of the universe has to be understood as the truth of the self, as Tvampada. Tat shabdasya artha, tatpada lakshyartha. The implied meaning of the word tat should be understood as the Tvampada lakshyartha. Remember the Tvam. Therefore, he had explaining that. And we're explaining, and we saw how the Tvampada, once the Tvampada lakshyartha is understood, tatpada lakshyartha becomes understood. Okay, understanding the Tvampada lakshyartha itself is the understanding of the tatpada lakshyartha. Okay, then when it becomes understood, the lakshyartha as Tvam and Tat becomes understood as the Tvampada lakshyartha, then one understands what is real. Wonder what is real becomes understood, and what is not real, I don't say unreal, okay, what is not real, what is as though, will not be mistaken for real. Once what is not real, what is as though, is not mistaken for the real, and what is not real is understood as not real, then there is no problem. All the problems and confusions will resolve in not mistaking the not real for real. Therefore, he was explaining those things. And here, the 16th verse, he had explaining how what is real and what is not real. They say not real, what is as though. And we saw that word. So, see, na asataha bhavaha vidyate, sataha abhavaha na vidyate. He used the word bhavaha and abhavaha. Understand these two words. Bhavaha and abhavaha. Okay, bhava pratiyogi abhavaha. That which is, okay, opposed to bhava is abhava, we say. It is explained here what bhav pratyogya bhavaha. So bhavaha is existence and abhavaha is non-existence. And he used other two words I use here, sat and asat. What is sat and what is asat here? These two words define what is absolutely real and what is empirically real. So understanding, so what is absolutely real? What is sat? The word sat is absolutely, what is that which is absolutely real is sat. Just sataha is the possessive of sat, possessive form of sat. Sataha abhavaha na vidyate nasti. Na vidyate nasti. So sataha abhavaha na vidyate, there is no non-existence for the sat. One sentence. Sataha abhavaha na vidyate. Na vidyate. So if there's no non-existence for the sat means Sat does not become non-existent at all. Sat can never become a non-existent. Okay. That means Sat, when you say Sat doesn't become non-existent, what does it mean? Sat exists always. When you say Sat exists always means Nityaha. When you say it exists always means there was never a time it was not there, which was referred in this 12th verse. There was never a time it was not there. There will never be a time it will not be. Okay, even now it is. So it was in the past, it is in the present, it will ever be in future means there's no time it does not exist. Means it always exists. So it is free from time limitation. Okay, Sat is free from time limitation. It exists always. So it exists always. Therefore it has no beginning. If anything which has a beginning, we have to say it wouldn't have existed before it began, therefore it becomes time bound. And anything which has a beginning should come to an end, therefore it has an end. And anything which has an end again becomes what? Time bound. So it cannot, Sat, when you say it exists always, it has no, it does exist always, it has no beginning, it has no end. Okay, it is free from time limitation, and second thing, it exists without undergoing any changes. So that which exists always, without beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, then while existing also, it does not depend upon something else for its existence. That is what is Sat. We have to remember all these things. Okay, Sat, Satyam, Satta, all these are synonyms. Later on, we may come across these, I may use the word Satta somewhere. Satta, Satyam, Sat, are all synonyms. So what is this then? What can this definition of Sat, therefore, when you say it does not depend upon something else for its existence, means it is no beginning, therefore it is not caused. Okay, if it, anything has a beginning, it becomes what? Caused. It must have a cause. Because it is no beginning, it is uncaused. Because uncaused, it has no other cause. So causeless, uncaused, because beginningless, endless, changeless reality, which exists by itself, without depending on something else, now first existence is Sat, Satyam. So it doesn't depend upon something else for its existence. So for we can say self-existent. When it is self-existent, this Sat becomes the cause for everything else. So it is self-existent, but it lends existence to everything else. Therefore, it is Sat, that is absolute reality. I told you about the relative cause and the absolute cause. Now, the Sat is the word technical term Sat implies the absolute reality, the cause of all the causes. This Sat. And we have an other word. So, Sataha Abhavaha Na Vidyate. Okay. What is the Sat here? We say Sat is the Atma. We have to connect here. You understand the definition of the word Sat. Now, what is Satyam? What is Sat here? What is the Sadvastu? Sat Vastu Sadvastu. What is the Sadvastu here? It is Atma. What is Atma? Consciousness. Okay? And that is the existence. Therefore, it is the Karanam Bhavati. You say because it is beginningless cause, we say it is the Karanam. It is also Jagat Karanam. It is otherwise known as Brahma. So, Brahma Shabdaha, Atma Shabdaha, Atma Shabdena, Brahma Shabdena, okay? Tumpada Lakshyarthatvena, okay? Yadvastu Suchyate. Now that vastu, which is now implied here by this word tvam, is in fact the atma, in fact the Brahman. It is the sat. Therefore, sat becomes what now? We say jagat karanam. Jagat karanam bhavati. We say the whole jagat, the jagat is what now? The universe. When you say universe, all the objects existing in the jagat, which constitute the jagat also, is nothing but just the nama and rupa. Name and the form. The word universe is just the name and the form, and any object is, which exists part and parcel of the universe also, is nothing but just the nama and rupa. Rupam, which has a nama. Whole jagat. And whole jagat is karyam. Jagat is karyam, and atma chaitanyam, the sad vastu, is what now? It is the karanam. When sadvastu is not karanam, but we say from the standpoint of the jagat, we say the karanam of the jagat is sadvastu, sat. The whole jagat is, we say, karyam. Karyam. The whole jagat is karyam. So the jagat is, now, can we say jagat is, whether it is satyam, it is not satyam. When we say jagat is satyam, we cannot say jagat is satyam. When I say jagat is not satyam, it is not satyam, we have to include our body also as jagat. The physical body, gross body is jagat. Okay, all that you see around is what? Jagat. All that you perceive through five senses is jagat. So this physical body also is jagat. The sense powers are jagat. Sense organs are jagat. Powers of organs of action are jagat, organs of action are jagat, pranas are jagat, your antahkaranam is jagat, mind is jagat, okay? Everything is jagat. In fact, you can reduce all manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha, at last the subtlest, highest form of manifestation, the knowledge that I am is also jagat. Understand? Please understand. I said jagat means you always look at outside. Come to that knowledge, the knowledge that I am is the highest form of manifestation, that is also jagat. Understand? Jagat means you have to include that also as jagat. And manaha, buddhihi, chittam, okay, the mind is jagat, subtle manifestation. So any other mind is as good as your mind. Any other body is as good as your body. Any other prana is as good as your prana. Therefore, similarly, like any other gross form that you perceive, any object that is perceived through any sense organ as good as any other object which is perceived, therefore, what is jagat now? The whole jagat is karyam. Atma chaitanyam is karanam. Okay, karanam is the sat. Karanam is the sat. And what about the karyam? What about the karyam jagat? What about the effect jagat? It is not sat. Okay? Sat is not the jagat. Sat is not the jagat. Why? Because okay, sat is not the jagat. But because jagat has beginning. Jagat has an end. Jagat undergoes changes. There is a time when jagat does not exist. There is a time when jagat exists. There is a time when jagat again becomes resolved. Therefore, it has beginning, it has an end. In between beginning and end, it undergoes a lot of changes. When I say jagat, I mean everything, including a mind. Okay, everything undergoes changes. Because it has no beginning, it has no end, it undergoes changes. And while existing in the present, he is subject to time limitation. While existing in the present also, it has no independent existence. It has no independent existence. It means it exists depending upon the sat. So karyam, like in a clay pot, there's a pot the Nama Rupa, the pot is nothing but just the Nama Rupa. You may think I'm repeating something, but I'm going to say it is something subtler. That's why I'm repeating it. See, the Nama, the pot is a form, which is the pot is the name of a given form. And there we say, it is a karyam, the effect, and the clay is the satyam. Okay, so before the creation of the pot, the clay existed, and yes, in the form of pot also clay exists, and after the pot is destroyed also the clay continues to exist, okay, in the form of broken pot, okay, clay continues to exist, whereas, so the karanam, understand, is exists all three periods of time, whereas the karyam exists only in the present, the effect does not exist before the creation, does not exist after the is destroyed, after it is broken. Therefore, we say the karyam only presence. But the karyam, the pot, does not have independent, we are going to see in the bhashyam, mrid vyatirekena, I am explaining before we enter into the bhashyam. I want to make it very clear. So, without the karanam, the clay, the karyam pot, you know, does not exist independent of the clay. It doesn't have independent existence. So similarly, the jagat also, the karyam jagat, which has beginning, which has end, undergoes changes, or exists only in the present, while existing also, it does not have independent existence. It exists depending upon the satyam, atma. There's no independent existence. So, we said that which has beginning, that which has an end, that which does not exist in all three periods of time, that which undergoes changes while existing, and while existing in the present also, which exists depending upon satyam for its existence, okay, which exists depending upon satyam, is called what now? Karyam asat. Or mithya. Okay? Asat or mithya. The word asat, I want to explain it. That's why I wanted to do it again today. I want to make it very clear. The word asat has two meanings. Okay? Asat means when you say sat is real, asat immediately will be tempted to translate into as unreal. In fact, asat should be understood as the two meanings for the word asat. One meaning is tucham and other meaning is mithya. Okay, because that's why I want to use to make it very clear today. The asat, the word, has two meanings. One meaning is tucham, one meaning is mithya. So here the word asat means mithya. We should understand asat as synonym of mithya, not as tucham. Why? Because tucham means, when you say unreal, it's not right. Okay? So tucham means atyanta abhavaha. Atyanta abhavaha means that which does not exist at all. This is why I gave the example of that verse, remember last class? Atyanta abhavasya kim udaharanam. Okay? What kim udaharanam, remember? Vandhya putraha yati mrigatrishnambhasi snataha kaf pushpadhari shashashringa dhanurdharaha vandhya putraha yati. Remember that for atyanta abhavaha. Okay? Atyanta abhavaha means tucham, that which does not exist at all. So there is no such thing called atyanta abhavaha. Understand? We don't to worry about that non-existence. But so here, what about this asat, which is otherwise known as mithya? It is not tucham, it is mithya. Okay? So this jagat is not sat because it exists, it has no independent existence like the pot, which exists depending upon the clay. The jagat has no independent existence. Okay? And it has beginning, it has an end, undergoes changes, it is time bound. Okay? Therefore, we say it is mithya. It is not satyam, but nor is it tucham, but it is mithya. These are the words I don't remember, okay? Satyam mithya, sat asat mithya tucham. Sat asat mithya tucham. These four words you will remember. So we say this jagat is what now? Mithya. So mithya is a word given to a reality, okay, which is empirical reality or relative reality, but not absolute reality. Okay, so we can say mithya. It is neither sat nor tucham. It is asat when you say. Asat means here mithya. So when you say sataha abhavaha na vidyate, the sat always exists. There is no time this sat becomes non-existent. You had to think. What is sat here? Atma. What is atma? Consciousness. The pure consciousness. Okay? And what is this jagat? It is mithya. Okay, therefore we say the sat atma is not the mithya jagat, but the mithya jagat is nothing other than the sat atma. Why? Because karana karyayoho sam duram nasti. Okay, between the cause and the effect there is no distance. And karana karya yoho madhye bedaha api nasti. There is no bedaha. The effect is not away from the cause, nor is it different from the cause, neither is it distant from the cause. Therefore, in fact, the jagat is, the mithya jagat is nothing but the satya atma. Sat atma. When you say asataha, sataha abhavaha na vidyate, at the same time asataha bhavaha na vidyate, that means bhavaha means existence. So asataha of this mithya jagat, no, bhavaha na vidyate, when you say it has no independent existence. Bhavaha na vidyate means we should not think it does not exist at all. We cannot say jagat is unreal. We cannot say jagat does not exist at all. We cannot say jagat is what? It has no independent existence. Asataha jagataha abhavaha, sorry, bhavaha na vidyate means, no, swayam bhavaha na vidyate. It does not exist by self-existent, not self-existent. Okay? It has no independent existence. Asataha bhavaha na vidyate means asat has no, the mithya has no independent existence. Tucham has no existence at all. Mithya has no independent existence. Okay, so here when you say asataha bhavaha na vidyate, you should have understand two things. Tucham has no existence at all. Okay? That means there is no such thing called non-existence, but you can say the mithya has no independent existence. It gives two meanings. Have you got it? That's why I'm repeating today, because last time I said so much. I know, I want to make it very clear, because I don't think you have to go and read it, okay? These things should become like mathematics, 1 plus 1 is 2. Here itself, now it's clear, it's gone in, it should stay forever. It shouldn't go away. Even midnight, if I wake you up and ask you, even however sleepy you are, still mithya jagat. Then you should be able to tell. That much should become very clear. Understand? Okay. So then here, sataha, okay, asataha, independent existence not there. Then here what? Okay, satyas, the jagat is asat, mithya. Sat Atma is Satyam. Satya Atma is not the Jagat, but Mithya Jagat is nothing but Asat Atma. Fine. So what is there now? What is this? So is Satyam the source of sorrow? Because we had to understand our question, our problem, we were the solution for the problem. Who cares what is Satyam, what is Asatyam? What is this sorrow? What is this sadness? What is this grief? What is this hurt? What is this guilt? Any different degree of pains, okay? All the we see, what is this? Is it Asatyam? We know very well, Satyam is the pure consciousness. We know that very well. And what is the, what all these things that, the sorrow, what is sorrow? Sorrow is state of mind. When you say state of mind, it is what? Manifestation is mithya. When you say it is mithya, we don't say it is sorrow is not there at all. There is no sorrow. Sorrow is very much there. Who said it is not there? But it is not. The Atma is not the source of sorrow. Atma does not, the Sat Vastu, the consciousness does not cause any sorrow. Okay? Does not create any sorrow. That is the source of sorrow. Asat, the mithya jagat, anything which is mithya, which has no independent existence also, cannot cause any sorrow to Sad Atma, because it depends upon Sat for its existence. How can the Asat, which is dependent on Sat, cause sorrow, okay, to the Asat? Because sorrow itself is mithya. Understand? So just a state of mind. Sorrow itself is mithya. Once you understand, therefore, really speaking, Satya Atma is not the source of sorrow. Asat cannot cause any sorrow because it is, there's no independent existence. Then sorrow is because of, okay, sorrow is something which is an expression of confusion, okay, of mistaking the mithya for satyam because of the, okay, ignorance of what Satyam is. If you see what sorrow is, you don't drive away sorrow, sorrow just resolves. Understand? So not only sorrow for that matter, what we can take all the, this, Sita Ushnam, Sukham and Dukham. Sukham, the pleasure, a state of mind, is also mithya. Dukham also is what? Mithya. Any experience is mithya. Please understand. Any experience is mithya. Sukha anubhava, dukkha anubhava, sukham, dukkham, states of mind is mithya. So, whatever is external to the mind, senses, you can take, for example, Sita, Ushna, no, Jaya, all pairs of opposites are what now? Mithya. All mithya. This is how they are. Then we are going to see the next thing. Okay. So when you say this, Atma is the Satyam, Jagat is the mithya. So Atma becomes the Karanam, Jagat becomes the Karyam. Therefore, now who lends existence to who? What lends existence to what? Okay. When we understood Atma, the Sadvastu, is self-existent, because does not depend upon anything else for its existence, because it's uncaused, causeless, cause we saw, therefore existence, because the karyam, the effect, does not exist independent of the cause, therefore, understand, we say existence of the cause is the existence of the effect. Like the existence of clay is the existence of the pot. Similarly, existence of the consciousness, okay, is the existence, the truth, is the existence of the jagat. Then we can say, cause is the existence of the jagat. Okay? Sat is the existence of the, cause is the existence of the effect. Cause is the existence of the effect. Therefore, here the Sadvastu, Atma, the existence. First we say, existence of the reality is the existence of the universe. And the reality itself becomes the existence of the universe. Therefore, what is the existence of the universe? Tvam pada shabdena yadvastu lakshyate tad chaitanyam eva jagataha. Satta, existence. Okay? Therefore, there is existence of the universe. So the pure consciousness is the existence of the universe. So existence does not exist outside of consciousness. Now, when you say existence, this existence itself is what? Is the chit. When you say chit, the sat itself is the chit. Chit means what? Consciousness. I can give another word, knowledge or awareness. Awareness, pure awareness, pure consciousness, pure knowledge. Three words I can use to mean chit or jnanam. Okay. So sat is chit. Sat is chit. They're not two different things. We are going to see that now. So here, for the jagat, I had told you many times, I think, I don't know, many other times, I don't know whether this class or that class, any other class. I've been talking for years, so I don't know where he said. Anyway, I would have told somewhere. And even in our class, I would have told. I tell you, the jagat, you know, for the jagat to be existent, it should be known. It is not known, it is as good as non-existent. Please understand very clearly. It is as good as non-existent. Therefore, for the jagat to have the status of being an existent, it needs to be known. To be known, it needs to be perceived. Therefore, jagat has no independent existence. It's existent, it has not to be perceived. It is dependent on the sense organs, sense powers. Therefore, sense organs, sense powers lend existence to the sense of world in the form of sense objects. Every sense power lends existence to the corresponding sense object. Understand, if you don't see, light is now as good as non-existent. If you don't hear, sound is as good as non-existent for you. If you don't smell, understand? Therefore, the sense powers, they are there, the world does exist. Without being perceived also, world does exist. But for you, for every individual, the world is existent only when it is known. For the world, okay, so for the world to be existent, it should be perceived. For it to be perceived, it is dependent on what? The sense powers. Okay, for sense powers lend existence to the world. Therefore, sense powers become the karanam, the world becomes the external objects, becomes the karyam. Then again, mind, attention of the mind has to be with the sense powers for the sense powers to be, you know, capable of functioning as sense powers. Therefore, mind lends existence to the sense powers. Okay, sense powers borrow their existence from the mind. Attention of the mind does not back up the senses. And the senses are as good as non-existent. Understand? Suppose if you are all sitting here very much, at the mind is not here, if it's elsewhere, whether you keep your eyes closed or keep your eyes open, still, I know nothing can get registered. Understand? That doesn't mean you are all not deaf. That means what? Therefore, the mind lends existence of mind. See, existence of sense powers is the existence of the sense objects. Therefore, understand? Similarly, existence of mind is the existence of the sense powers. Understand? Then, existence of consciousness is the existence of the mind. Therefore, but consciousness, so mind is dependent on consciousness to be the mind, understand? Whereas consciousness is independent of the mind, senses and everything else. Whereas everything else is dependent on, ultimately on consciousness. Understand? Therefore, that consciousness is the sat, தஸ்ய கான்ஷியஸ் தஸ்ய பிரம்மணஹா தஸ்ய சத்வஸ்துனஹா அபாவஹ ந வித்யதே. இட்ஸ் நெவர் டசன் எக்ஸிஸ்ட் டசன் பிகம் நான் எக்ஸிஸ்ட் அட் ஆல். கிளியர் நோ? சத். தென் வி சே சத் இஸ் சித், பிகாஸ் therefore we say knowledge. Where, suppose when you say the external, anything external to the mind, the external to the senses, anything which is external to the senses, any object, okay, has existence in perception, it is perceived ultimately. When you say the sun is, the moon is, or the light is, the vehicles are, whatever you say, anything is, when you say in all of them, that means what? Externally, anything external to the senses, when you say the car is, the bus is, the light is, the sound is, okay, cold, chillness is, I'm using different things now, chillness is, sound is, okay, light is, fragrance is, you say is when you say allergy is, okay, when I say all these things is in all, when I say that means what? The existence is fragrance, is fragrance, existence is, okay, fragrance, knowledge is, fragrance is means fragrance, existence is, which means fragrance, consciousness is. Chillness is, chillness, knowledge is, chillness, existence is. Understand? Chillness, consciousness is. When you say sound is means sound, knowledge is. Sound, existence, okay? Sound, knowledge is. Sound, consciousness is. And you say light is, light is means light, knowledge is, light, consciousness is. Light is, light, knowledge is, light, knowledge is means light, consciousness is. Now bus is, bus, knowledge is, bus, consciousness is. Anything external to the world, anything external to the world, when you say is, that isness implies existence. Isness implies existence. Understand? Therefore, we can say, instead of saying this, we can say, bus is means bus existence, car is car existence, light is light existence, sound existence, fragrance existence, smell existence. So in all of them, what is common is what? Existence. What are what is different is that the objects are different. Understand? So here we have to understand here what is common is existence, and therefore that existence does not undergo any change. That is the same. Whereas the objects change. Objects of knowledge can change, but the knowledge does not change. Okay? I can say the cognition. When you see the wave, you see two things together. You see the water, you also see what? The wave. When you see the light, when you see this tumbler, you see the illumining light and the illumined object inseparably. You can never see the illumined object, okay, without the illumining light. You always see the illumined object along with the inseparably with the illumining light. what is invariably present. So here the objects, many different objects are here. Many element objects are seen, but what is invariably seen along with the illumined objects is the illumining light. That illumining light is one and the same, but the illumined objects are many and different and vary. Understand? That is Sat. Like that, the consciousness, when you say all these things external to the senses, when you say all of them, when you say pot is, pot knowledge is, bus knowledge is, okay? When you say anything is, fragrance is, fragrance knowledge is, so in all of them, what is invariably present, okay, is the knowledge. And that knowledge is not outside of consciousness. It is existence. Therefore, there is no distance between the object of knowledge and the source of knowledge. I'm going to tell you again. That's why this is Sat. I'm explaining it slowly. Don't worry about it. Is okay? Have you got it till now? It's become very clear. Then we say, this existence is in fact nothing but Chit, the consciousness. I have to make it very clear again. So when you say, so how you see both the illumining light along with the illumined object, you cannot see this separately. Similarly, no knowledge, no cognition is outside of consciousness. Understand? So when you see anything, you have to see both things, two things. Two things you have to see. When you see the illumined object and the illumining light, You say there's cognition of light, there's also cognition of the illumined object. In every cognition, you have to cognize two things. When the illumined object is cognized, you, along with the illumined object, what you see is the illumining light. And similarly, in every cognition, when you say bus is, means, okay, there is cognition of bus, there is cognition of bus is, means that easiness is consciousness, therefore there is, bus consciousness is. When you say fragrance is, and there is cognition of fragrance and cognition of consciousness, because there is fragrance, consciousness is. When you say any knowledge, anything you say is, okay, but along with that, the easiness is what? Conscious existence. Existence is what? Consciousness. That is what? Cognition, knowledge. Okay, so we say here, two things, please remember, there is Sad Buddhihi and Asad Buddhihi. I'm going to make it much subtler, okay? Sad Buddhihi and Asad Buddhihi. Suppose in a cognition you say, when you say flower is, flower consciousness is, book consciousness is, book is, book knowledge is, book cognition is, book consciousness is. So light is, light knowledge is, light cognition, light, okay? Light consciousness is. Sound is, sound cognition is, sound consciousness is. So in all of them, the objects are different. The book, the flower, all the different rupani and different namani of different rupani. They all vary. The form differs from each other. Any form is different from every other form. Therefore, the name also is different from every other name. But in all the different variable names and forms, okay, when you say, what is common all of them is the consciousness. Is it okay? That consciousness is what? In fact, the existence. Sadbuddhihi. Sadbuddhihi in a sense, the cognition for which the sad matter, a subject is what? Is the consciousness. The cognition for which the matter, subject, the visham is any namarupa. Namarupa also becomes object of cognition. The cause also is object of the cognition, and the effect also is object of cognition. For example, when you see the wave, there are two you cognize two things. You has cognition of water, there is cognition of wave. When you see the illumined object and the illumining light, when you see the illumined object, one thing itself, you see both. The illumined object can never be seen without the illumining light. Therefore, this cognition of illumining light and the cognition of illumined object. Here the light is as well as the cause, the illumined object is as well as the effect. Is it clear? I'm giving a gross example and I'll give another example also. Two things you see. Sad buddhihi, therefore, I say the cognition of wave, the nama rupa, is what? Asad buddhihi. Why? Because wave is asat. With reference to wave and the water, wave is asat, water is sat. Because sat does not depend upon the water does not depend upon the wave for its existence, whereas wave is dependent on water for its existence. With reference to, don't take the example as example, take the example only as example, okay? With reference to wave and water, water is sat and wave is mithya. Therefore, the cognition of when you see the wave, the two things are seen simultaneously. You can never see that, okay? Similarly here, the wave is, a cognition of wave is called asad buddhihi. Cognition of water is what? Sad buddhihi. Understand? Similarly, you reduce everything to knowledge now. Reduce all the namarupas perceived externally into just the thought. Knowledge. Have you understood what is sadbuddhi or asadbuddhi? In cognition of everything, you have two buddhis. Cognition of the cause, cognition of the effect. You can never see cognize only effect alone separately without cognizing the cause. Okay? So the cognition of the cause, in cognizing the effect, what you cognize, okay, inevitably is the cause. So the cognition of the cause is the sadbuddhi, cognition of the cause is asadbuddhihi. Is it clear? Mm-hmm. Now we'll reduce the whole jagat into as what? Thought. Knowledge. Is it clear now?
Whole jagat.
The whole jagat, when I say all the namarupas which are perceived externally, which is external to the senses, and also sense powers, okay? Reduce, when you say anything, is means knowledge of that is. Mind is, mind knowledge is. Senses are, senses knowledge is. Pranas are, pranas knowledge is. Okay? Body is, body knowledge is. Anything, the whole jagat is, jagat knowledge is. Is it okay? Is means, is simple, knowledge is. And what is knowledge? Cognition. Okay, now we reduce everything to knowledge. Knowledge is, when you say, knowledge consciousness is. When you say knowledge is, ignorance is not, I will say that, you will understand that. Knowledge consciousness is. Understand? Knowledge consciousness is. What is knowledge? Understand now? Therefore, so there, knowledge, the vritti, the thought, for which the object is just the nama rupa. is the asad buddhi, and consciousness is the sad buddhi vishayaha. Cognition of consciousness along with the thought knowledge. When you see the thought, where is thought? Where is thought? Thought is means thought knowledge is. When you say any thought is, okay, knowledge is means knowledge is a thought. Did you understand knowledge as a thought? Thought is means thought awareness is, thought consciousness is. There, in seeing every thought, what is invariably seen along with the thought as the thought is pure consciousness. So pure consciousness is the, sadbuddhi vishayaha, and asadbuddhi vishayaha is the thought, namarupa. Understand? In fact, if we ask what is wave, let me tell you now, what is wave? The H2O conditioned by the name and form wave. Name, given form, a name is wave. Understand? A pure consciousness conditioned by a given object, the nama rupa, is a thought perception. Do I make sense?
Repeat that last sentence. Pure consciousness is such.
Understand now? Yeah. Just see the thought now. See, first, let's give all gross examples. I'll repeat it. I'll talk to you separately. So here, just see the cognition, knowledge alone. Have only the thought. Take any thought for that matter. You say thought is means. You say knowledge is means. Knowledge is in the form of a thought. Knowledge is, and you say, knowledge consciousness is. Understand? Knowledge consciousness is. Therefore, the consciousness is the sadbuddhi vishayaha. The thought, just that, is what? Asad buddhi vishayaha. And so here, the consciousness does not undergo any change. It cut this as pure awareness. It is not opposed to anything. It is always there. Na vyabhicharati. You are going to see in the Bhashyam. Na vyabhicharati. It does not undergo any change. Does not change. Whereas, the asad buddhi vishaya changes. Understand now? Asad buddhi vishaya changes. That means, asad buddhi vishaya means the object of cognition which undergoes a change. The cognition, the object of which undergoes a change is asad buddhi, in fact. It's clear now. Therefore, the thought keeps on changing. Thought undergoes changes, the consciousness undergoes change. Therefore, the sadbuddhi vishayaha, the cognition for which, the vishaya of which does not undergo any change is sat. The cognition of which, the vishaya of which undergoes a change is asat. Just take cognition, in every cognition, we cognize two things, the consciousness and the object of consciousness. It can be anything. And the consciousness does not undergo any change, whereas the object undergoes a change. So the object which undergoes a change is what? Asat. When undergo a change is sat. Is it okay? Is it clear? And that is chit. That existence is sat is chit, and chit is sat. Chidrupena yad sadvastu asti tasya sataha abhavaha na vidyate. The consciousness which is existence has no non-existence at all. Okay, let me tell you. Now next question, the doubt comes. Okay, when you say part cognition is, okay, well, part consciousness is, that's fine. But when the part is broken, part cognition is not there. Understand? Part is there, part cognition is. When the part is destroyed, then there's no part cognition is not there. The easiness is not there. The doubt comes on. So Shankar raises a small doubt he raises in his Bhashyam. Before reading the Bhashyam, I thought, let me explain to you the whole thing. No, the part is destroyed. We can still say the broken piece of the part is. Easiness never disappears. Listen, the part is, part consciousness is. Ease, only we were interested in ease, okay? Easiness. And part is broken, the Namarupa, okay? Part is broken, fine. The broken piece is. The easiness always is there as existence. Therefore, existence is the noun. The whole jagat is an adjective. Any Namarupa is an adjective. Understand? That's what we say. And you say, it's an adjective. Why? Because what is dependent on what becomes its qualifies. So we say part existence, part is means part existence. Okay? Part existence. Clay is clay existence. Flower is flower existence. For existence is the noun, and all this becomes what? Pot, bus, clay, etc., light, sound, form, all this becomes what now? Adjectives. These are adjectives. Therefore, the existence is the same. That does not undergo any change. And that is chit. Any time you say anything is, or you can say is not. Gene is not, you can say. But still, the is not is what? Some is not also. Is always there. Easeness, existence is always there. Whether the object is there or not, the easeness is. You can say presence is, absence also is. Understand? Therefore, what is made clear is, there's no, because it is chit, existence is pure consciousness. Existence always exists. Okay? It doesn't become a non-existent. Existence alone exists as any existent Namarupa. Which is consciousness, and which is, sat is chit. And this chit, because happens to be everything that is there, chit of everything that is there, we say it is anantam. Sat, chit, anandaha. Anandaha is in fact anantam, everything that is there. Antasya chidrupena, okay, yadhadvastu asti, tasya, okay, chidananda atmanaha abhavaha na vidyate. And any namarupa is just the name. Vacharambhanam namadheyam mrittika itteva satyam. We have that in Chandogya. It's the word. any name, form is just the name. Any object of cognition is just the name, just the form and the name. Okay, it has no when you say just the name of me, it has no independent existence. If asataha, mithya jagataha, asataha, mithya vastunaha, bhavaha, swayam, okay, self existence is not there. Bhavaha na vidyate, it has no independent existence. Okay, therefore, ubhayoho api. Anayoho, tattvadarshi, ubhayoho api antaha, drishtaha, tattvadarshi bihi. So here, tattvadarshi, the word tattvam is beautifully very explained in the Bhashyam. We are going to see the Bhashyam anyway. Okay? The word tat. Now, what is tattvam? Shankara beautifully explains here. What is tattvam? With tattvam we say reality, tattvam we say the truth. How do you derive that word tattvam? No? Tattvam. So, tasya bhavaha tattvam. Bhavaha means what? This swarupam, existence. Listen now. Bhavaha means what? Existence. What is existence? The intrinsic swarupam. Consciousness. Understand? So when you say existence, pure existence means what? Consciousness. It is the understand now. So, rupam. Bhavaha is what now? Existence. What is existence? Pure consciousness. What is pure consciousness? That is the rupam of the reality. Understand? So, tasya bhavaha. When you say the existence, the rupam of that is what? The truth. Swarupam means the truth, the reality. Understand? You say with reference to water, ocean, you say H2O is the tattvam. Tasya bhavaha, the existence of water is what? H2O. Understand? Like that here, the whole tasya bhavaha tattvam. Tasya means what? Tasya is the possessive form of tat shabdaha. What is tat shabdaha? Dakarantaha, sarva, okay? We can say Trishulingesh different anyway. The tat shabdaha bhavati, common, okay, means that. It's a pronoun. It is a pronoun. So, what is a pronoun? What is in Sanskrit language? What is a pronoun known as? Pronoun is known as sarvanama. Pronoun means sarvanama. Why is pronoun is called sarvanama? It can be a name for anything. A pronoun can mean anything. When you say he, that he can mean any he, okay, any man, any male thing, male person. Or anything which belongs to masculine gender. When you say she, it can mean any she, anything which belongs to feminine gender. Any female person. And tat also when you say, that means, that can be a name, that can indicate anything and everything. That's what's called sarvanama, okay? Pronoun, sarvasya nama bhavati, sarvesha nama bhavati, understand? Sarvasya, everything. Sarvanama means pronoun. So, tat here, it take the etymological meaning of the word sarvanama, tat. Sarvanama. Therefore, what is here in the whole jagat, everything is what? Brahman. When you say the whole jagat is manifestation of Brahman, mithya jagati satyam Brahma, when you say, everything is what? Is it clear now? Sarvanama, because sarvam being Brahman, sarvanama being tat, therefore tat implies Brahma. Is it clear? It's a very interesting thing. Understand? Therefore, tad means that which can indicate anything and everything. Brahman happens to be everything here. Brahman, tad becomes the name of Brahman. That is why Om Tat Sat in mantra. Tat means Ish Bhagavan. The whole Jagat Bhagavan. Tat means Brahma. Understand? Tat. tattasya bhavaha tattvam. Therefore, the tattvam, tattva, tasya brahmanaha bhavaha, swarupam is what? Brahman is okay, the consciousness, the awareness, the existence. It is tattvam. Tasya brahmanaha bhavaha tattvam. The tva, shabda, when you add, means abstract. Abstract form of tat is tattvam. Tattvam is abstract noun. Make that pronoun tat. Don't take it as a pronoun there. Take it as the name of Brahman, as a meaning of the etymological meaning of the word tat, sarvanama. Understand? Everything is Brahman, and the abstract form of everything is what? Pure consciousness. Okay? Tattvam. You add tvam, no? To make anything noun. Abstract form of it is what? Tattvam. Okay? That is, tattvam is abstract form of the tat, which means existence, consciousness, Brahman. The Swarupam of Brahman. Brahmanaha Yathatmyam. Yathatmyam means Swarupam. Brahman as it is what? Brahman as is what? Pure consciousness and chit, existence. And which is everything for us, Anantam. And Tasya. And what is here? What, okay? What about this Sukham, Dukham, Dvandam? All these dvandvas are all mithya. They're all mithya. Understand mithya, understand what satyam is, distinguish the satyam from mithya, understand what mithya is, understand there's no such thing called tucham. Asat is not tucham here, asat is mithya here, understand mithya as mithya. Don't mistake the mithya for satyam. Then you see mithya is resolved in satyam. There is no problem. Okay. Drishta. So what he says is, tattva darshibihi anayoho ubhayoho sad asadoho. Okay. Antaha, end, truth has been understood by seers of tattva darshinihi. Understand the word tattvam, I think I have to explain well. I know. And it has to be properly again. Is it clear now? Mm-hmm. So I want to understand two things, sad buddhihi and asad buddhihi. I request all of you to go back home and please read the Gita home study book, the meaning of this verse from the home study book. I think I wanted to tell you, hereafter all of you go home and read whatever verse I come cover here, go home and do that, read it, so that you will be, it will become much clearer and you will be thorough for the next class. You will come back, it will do very good, because the clarity is very important. Understand? See, this verse really, it makes so very clearly presence. Shankara's Bhasha makes it very, very clear. Okay. Sad buddhihi, asad buddhihi. Buddhihi here means cognition. Okay. So whether the object is external to the mind, senses, or not external to the mind, external to the only mind, doesn't matter. Whatever is the object of knowledge, that object of knowledge does not exist outside of knowledge. Please understand this. Okay. Suppose whether it is right knowledge or wrong knowledge, maybe. For example, even if you mistake the wire for a snake, okay, the snake is, okay? Like, suppose the light is not opposed to any illumining anything here. It is blue color, it shows blue color. It is pink, it's pink. I have my blindness, okay? Then I can say purple. Whatever I say, whatever it is. So it illumines everything as it is. So right knowledge or wrong knowledge? Thing which is there, which is not there. Whatever you see here, that's a different thing. This problem is with our instruments. But easiness, something always is. Is it clear? Does it make sense? So he is always there. So any, whether it is directly perceived through senses, or okay, you don't see perceived through senses, you have knowledge, the perceptual knowledge, or inferential knowledge, or presumption, okay, or because whatever form, whatever way, you have knowledge. There is knowledge of something. You infer, or you perceive, or you presume, whatever it is. And that knowledge is not outside of consciousness. But it is vrittihi. Understand? Vrittihi. And so when you say knowledge, knowledge means what we when say the cognition. And in every knowledge, in every cognition, two things are cognized. When you see external, the example I gave you, please remember very well, in every cognition there is cognition of cause and cognition of effect. You can never see, you can never cognize the effect independent of its cause. Similarly, when you perceive, when you cognize the very thought, the thought itself is object of knowledge. Please understand. Knowledge itself becomes what? Object of knowledge. Knowledge itself is object of knowledge. That knowledge to which knowledge is an object of knowledge is what? Pure consciousness. Understand? Therefore, is it clear what I say? Reduce the known world as to knowledge. The known jagat is not outside of knowledge. And knowledge is a vritti. And knowledge also is known. Knowledge is cognized. In cognizing two things, you see always the cause and its effect. This cognition of cause, cognition of effect, and the effect, okay, which is an object of cognition, is subject to change, that is asad buddhihi. And in cognition, okay, in every perception, every cognition, every knowledge, what is invariably present, what variables are the objects, okay, and the invariable present is consciousness. It is sadbuddhihi, the cognition for which the object is pure consciousness, okay, sat, then it is sadbuddhihi. Therefore, the sadbuddhi vishyaha is not subject to change, asadbuddhi vishyaha is subject to change. Therefore, the buddhi vishaya, buddhihi of which vishaya subject to change is asat, which object which is not subject to change is sat. Understand? Therefore, invariably present in all the variable thoughts is awareness. And when is the awareness not? When is consciousness not? When is it not? It's always. In deep sleep state, it's there. There is an experience of deep sleep state. Without experience, how can there be experience? Okay? Deep sleep state, you are not there. The knowledge that I am is not there. No thought is there, no experience is there, no jagat is there, no perception is there. Still, nothing being is experience, there is an experience. How can there be an experience without the experiencer? There is dream experience. So, in dream also, experience is without the experiencer, no experience is possible. In waking state, of course, there is experience. So, in waking state, experience is, therefore, there is an experiencer. Dream experience is, there is a dreamer. Without the experiencer, no experience is possible. In deep sleep state, also there is experience, okay? It's experience. Without the experiencer, no experience is possible. And who is the experiencer? You have resolved the whole mind as everything is been resolved as what? Negated as object of knowledge. invariably present. What is invariably present in all the variable states of experience, in all the variable thoughts, okay, is the Sadbuddhi Vishaya. Understand? Sadbuddhi Vishaya. No, the object of the cognition for which the object is the invariable. Is it clear? Sadbuddhi, that is the invariably, that which is invariably present in all the variable thoughts, is Sadbuddhi Vishaya. All the variable thoughts are, you say, Asadbuddhi Vishaya.
And then,
therefore, Sat is Tasya Sataha Abhavaha Na Vidyate, never, never. In waking state, it's there. In deep sleep state, it's there. In dream state, it's there as an experiencer, as the witness. Okay? Before the body was born, it was there. After the body is born, it's there. When the body is destroyed, it's there. Sataha abhavaha na vidyate. Understand? Asataha bhavaha na vidyate. This body, this mind, these senses, the anything external of the body, there's no independent existence. Astaha bhavaha na vidyate. Include all the states of mind, guilt, sorrow, hurt, any pain, anything, sadness, grief, all of them. All sukham, sukham also, pleasure also. Sukham, dukkham. All the pairs of opposites, Sita Ushnadi, all the pairs of opposites, everything is what? Just the mithya. So mithya cannot cause sukha dukkham to the satyam, because there is nothing other than, for the mithya there is nothing other than satyam. Mithya itself is satyam, in fact. But satyam being not the mithya, okay, satyam, understand? Satyam is not the source of, doesn't cause anything. It cannot cause it to anything to itself. Understand? Satyam cannot cause sorrow to itself. How many to itself? Mithya cannot cause any sorrow to the satyam, because mithya is dependent on satyam. Therefore, okay, they see the Vishnu Sukadukkhadi nam, Dvandvanam, Dvandvanam, Satta Nasti. Okay, because they are all asat. This understanding helps you resolve all the problems. Understand? Nasato vidyate bhavah. Nasato vidyate bhavah. Na bhavo vidyate satah. Na bhavo vidyate satah. Ubhayorapi drishtontah. Ubhayorapi drishtontah. Tvanayostattvadarshibhihi. Tvanayostattvadarshibhihi. Have you got any question? Any doubt? You know what is Sadbuddhihi? You know what is Asadbuddhihi? You know what is invariably present? What is what are the variables? What invariably present? All the variables. What is Sat? What is Asat? What is Tucham? What is Mithya? And what is Tattvam? Tattvam means when you say truth. Truth means Brahmanaha Yathatmyam. I mean, Tasya Bhavaha. It's very, very beautiful. And Sri Shankara's Bhashman, the words are so beautiful. They sound so nice. Very expressive. And I want to make it very clear to you again. I want to add this. I think I have not made it very clear. Maybe I'll do it again.
You say there's any question. There is, because, you said, is it clear? Well, if it was very clear at this moment, then all the sorrow disappears.
See, understanding, okay, this, what I have understood now, it has to be dwelt upon.
Yeah.
further assimilation is important. You have understood when I say it doesn't disagree with your reasoning. I don't say something like, so teaching means what? Okay, always we give example, okay? I am sitting here inside this house, therefore there cannot be elephant anywhere in the garden. We say, what is the meaning? Then you wonder, what does it mean? I'm not saying something like that. So definitely, what I'm teaching, what I'm trying to say, what I'm trying to express, what exactly I see I try to express, okay, really, really it's very clear. And I say, try to say that, okay, and because I had to develop, a lot of things I had to make it very clear, this like that, I see that. And as you see, I should say that. And what I say definitely does not disagree, okay, you can't, with your reasoning. It doesn't contradict with your reasoning. Understand? Your thinking, your buddhi, you need to make it, understand? Therefore you think, and the buddhi you use, and you think and come along with that. Then you see. That's what is seeing, what the other person is seeing.
But until that...
Yeah, you can see that, but, okay, without any contradiction, you understand that, then it has to be further contemplated upon. Atmava are drashtavyaha, then mantavyaha, then nididhyasitavyaha. Understand? Test to begin further. Now what you've understood, because always you think of the grass, now grass examples and grass thinking, just reduce everything to knowledge. In fact, if I give this, say this, the water is nothing but conditioned by the nama rupa. Water conditioned by a given form with a given name is wave. When I say similarly, any thought, okay, is nothing but consciousness conditioned, okay, by given nama rupa is thought, perception. What is conditioning? The doubt may come. We'll make it clear. Don't worry. I'll talk about it again later. Anyway, I had to do the bhashyam, you see. I had to do the bhashyam. My God, anyway. Today I wanted because... What's the time?
4:20.
Okay.
I want to ask you. The word asa, you said that it caused a lot of confusion if you don't understand what it is. I mean, you misuse it. But here you have it used, meaning something else. Mithya.
Yeah.
So,
actually, that's why I told in the very beginning, the word asat means, literally, it means, when you say sati is real, asat should be translated as what? Unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal means it implies tucham. Tucham means atyanta bhavaha. That it does not exist at all. So here we don't, here the word asat has another meaning, which means mithya, which does not mean tucham. Asat can mean tucham, asat can also mean mithya, but here when Shankaracharya spoke of the word asat, asat is used in the sense of mithya. Asat is, synonym for asat is the mithya here, not the tucham. Really speaking, that's why when you say asataha bhavaha na vidyate means that bhava means the independent existence is now, don't say it has no existence at all, it has no independent existence. Okay? Yeah.
You and the astrology said it causes a lot of misunderstanding.
Yeah.
That start to mean the wrong thing.
Yeah.
But, you could easily do that if you didn't understand the commentary properly.
Yeah, definitely. See, unreal, if you read, what does it mean then?
It means it's absolutely real. Meaning it's relatively real.
Yeah. That's why we have this words, paramarthikam satyam, vyavaharikam satyam. Because I've been talking about that, because I didn't use those words because Shankara doesn't use. I want to use only whatever Shankara is using in his bhashyam relevant to this one verse. The same thing we understand with different context of using different words. Because Shankaracharya doesn't use in his bhashyam vyavaharikam satyam, etc. That's why I didn't use. He made very clear sadbuddhiya, sadbuddhiya. I tell you, amazing. This about seeing these cognitions, In every cognition, seeing two things. Okay, and the cognition of the one thing of the what is cognized, no, the cognition of namarupa is asad buddhi, the cognition of karna buddhi is no, the karna buddhi and kari buddhi, cognition of cause and the cognition of effect. When you externally, when you see, but when you come to the thought, it is everything as a thought. I want to see this nasato vidyate bhavaha. If this one verse becomes very clear, many things become very clear, because this is very important thing, subtle. I want to really always we look top examples outside. No, where to come to the just the mind and just the knowledge and this cognition had analyzed this. I really want to make it. Anyway, I have to read out the Bhashyam. While reading the Bhashyam again, I'll explain this. Before going to the Bhashyam, I just want to give certain idea, certain things which will become very clear. Last class, I said, I thought I'd just start the Bhashyam today. And then I started thinking, no, because I said certain things my own way fast. I realized myself, I should make it very clear. Sat, Asat, Mithya, Tucham. No, because Asat can be taken for Tucham, Asat can be taken for Mithya. Really speaking, there's no non-existence. What is there is only existence, which is Brahma, Vastu. Mithya is, Mithya Jagat is Satyam Brahma. Satyam Brahma is on Mithya Jagat.
So Swami, what is unassimilated knowledge? What do you call unassimilated knowledge?
See, unassimilated means, in spite of knowing, the wrong orientation. I told you about long ago, and I emailed you about the habitual error.
But it is.
In that no. This is suppose what you have understood now. What you have understood, this must be constantly remembered and reflected on. Then it becomes, it becomes very clear. It's clear now, but still, again, the attention of the mind is taken away from this understanding.
But then let me
think. No, the attention of the mind, which has the understanding, is there. This understanding, attention is there with this understanding now. When it is taken out, then it may be there, but still because the habitual error, okay, the orientation, wrong orientation being there, because bahunam janmanam, okay, many, many janmas, we have the sense of limitations, okay, that will go and then our... And the emotions will pop up, okay? They won't keep quiet, you see. They're ready to come. Attention is there, emotions will disappear. See, please listen carefully. In the class, when you are with me, okay, I have not solved any big unfoldment. Slowly I'm doing. And when you are listening carefully, attentively, is there any emotion? Well, chanting may become emotional. That's a different thing. The melody... or some togetherness, some voice, it may become. But when listening to the correct, the fact is unfolded, the fact is brought to light, explained, when there's understanding of fact, nobody can be given to any emotion, become emotional. Emotions cannot be there. There's no sentimentality, okay? Because you're with the fact, attention is with the fact. You take it away, then... emotions may be there, pratibandha. This is what I'm saying, shastra shravanam, pauna punyena shravanam, shravanam shravanam shravanam, pauna punyena shravanam, shravanam ascertains, thana nikrana nyaya. Just stick, put the stick and make it, then shake and see, it's even stiff, it doesn't move like that. That's why pauna punyena shravanam is the thana nikrana nyaya in teaching. Listen again. What will it be?
I kind of understand. I mean, I understand. I think what you're at, it's like, when does the action? When does the awareness become the action of awareness? Or like, when does the knowledge become assimilated into the action of the knowledge?
No. What he says, when I said you have understood something, and that should become very clear. Okay, assimilated means
right.
The understanding is there. Then there cannot be any the problems.
Okay.
Problems cannot be there. You can't say knowledge and problems cannot exist together, because paraspara virudha dharmatvat. Okay, light and darkness cannot exist together. Similarly, now, and this clarity of vision, okay, of oneness of reality, and the reality being consciousness, sattvastu, and nothing exists outside of cognition, okay, the reality, that namarupa being mithya, the mithyatvam of the jagat, hatyatvam of consciousness, and jagat and mithya being, and satya being non-separate, once you understand, resolve everything, and even when you understand all these emotions, the fear, all those things, also as mithya, you resolve them in satyam, and then understanding is there, then there cannot be definitely the unshakenness, a sort of strength, because the real no, the strength is there. But, okay, and if in spite of having understood it, there is some sort of problems come, okay, if there's problem again, that means knowledge is there, knowledge remains unassimilated. That's called unassimilated.
Okay.
But you still go through...
Okay. Let me just carry on. Okay.
How can there be?
No, how can there be? You said, shravanam, 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 shravanam. Right? So, now, or shravanam, mananam, shravanam, and then nididhyasana. Okay, so now, one goes away, and there's some reflection, mananam, on what I think I've heard, but now, as I sit here now, because there's no clarity, what I think I've heard obviously is not, in fact, the fact as you have unfolded it. Because that clarity will result in, the understanding will result in clarity, but there isn't now. So what am I going to be mananamming about? I'm going to be mananamming about something which is, you know, already changed.
I tell you one thing, that's not true. Either you have understanding or you don't have understanding. That's all.
That's
you have understood, I can say.
What?
Understanding must be there, or there must be
unclarity. Lack of understanding.
Yeah, I don't say there's no clarity. Clarity, don't go to clarity.
Okay.
Understanding is there. Understanding has to become ascertained, assimilated. Okay, that's what you asked me now. Okay, is only what has been understood has to be further reflected on.
But what has been understood is not what you have unfolded, because
that means there's no understanding at all.
Yeah, that's precisely what I'm. That's precisely the point. So I go away and reflect.
That means you have to again listen. You have to try to understand. That's all.
Exactly.
If there is no understanding at all. You mean really you have not understood anything?
I have understood at the time, but now... You see, okay. Maybe I'm using the word understanding in a very, very absolute way. Because I'm saying, if there's understanding, then there's total clarity. But because there is no total clarity, that is evidence to me that there's not understanding.
It's relative understanding.
The force of the habitual error is really what you're describing.
Yeah.
And it's not, there isn't an understanding, it's just the understanding is shrouded by this habitual error, which is so fundamental, so well established, that it is completely dominating the situation. And that's why there needs to be mananam and nididhyasana.
Yes.
Got to be. To uproot, gradually overcome that habitual error.
Yeah. But
fair enough. Why?
But what is the reflection on is the question. Isn't now the such understanding covered with habitual error, which is correct? Isn't that what we go away and reflect on?
You reflect on some of it each time.
That is the reason. Last class I spoke on the same thing. I'm not able to go to the next verse, okay? Because last class I started talking about it. This class I have talked something. Next time I'm going to talk again on the same thing.
Thank you very much.
Okay, don't worry. This is not to talk. Go further. Avinashi tu tadvidhi. I'm not going to go now. I'm going to read again this Bhashyam of this. While reading the Bhashyam, Pitaji, it will become much clearer. Are you dissatisfied or are you unhappy about what you have heard today? You don't want to lose dukkham or what? This is the problem now. You know, there's some people said, my God, you know, some people ask Swamiji, Swamiji, after attaining moksha, what can we do? Swamiji said, I want to give up sannyasa, he said.
But can't you still have the understanding and clarity, but go through the emotions, but not attach to them, not get shaken as much by them? Like I was reading something about Nisargadatta, and he would say he would, you know, be happy, cry, whatever, but he still had this understanding, but he didn't, he still had the consciousness. Or do you have, are you not supposed to have dukkham and sukkham if you have true understanding?
No, it's not that you can't have sukkham and dukkham. Sukkham and dukkham are there. Not that you don't want to have or you're not supposed to have. If I'm not supposed to have, I can decide not to have. I can just decide not to have them.
But it's
I cannot decide. It's not my decision. Okay,
right.
Sukham is there, dukkham is there. That is why we say understanding helplessness. We have no say over them. Sukham, there's something called sukham. There is dukkham. Okay, and what is the nature? What sukham is? It is in fact our whole shastram. We don't say anything to give up. Nothing is to be given up here. Understand what this sukham is. Understand what this dukkham is. Understand what this sorrow is. Understand what this desire is all about. Understand what is this need. Understand what is this urge. Understand what it is. Then it resolves. That's why the whole Vedanta Shastram, understanding what it is more understanding its karanam. Where does it understand? It's a karya karana vada. Okay? You see this, you understand all these things as karyam. When you see where it is, the locus of it, the karna becomes understood. Understand the karna, it is not outside of this, that means everything else is understood as karyam. Then karya karana vada means the whole discussion is understanding karya karanam. Karya, it is not karnam or karyam. You know, the discussion. Understanding what is the source of it is understanding the karnam of everything. Everything else is karyam. Only understand karyam is resolved in, always karyam can be resolved in karanam as a different existence.
So chit is the understanding and consciousness that sukham and dukkham come and go.
Chit is a word, chit is a sound which means consciousness.
Right.
Chit is equal to consciousness.
Right.
Pure consciousness.
Mm-hmm. And you understand, and so then you understand sukham and dukkham, that they come and go and resolve back into chit, consciousness.
Yeah.
But they're there. But you just don't identify with them or mistake yourself for them.
Wave is very much there. Water is also there. Okay, you should see the wave. And then when you see the wave, not outside of water, is dissolving the wave. Similarly, all this understanding what these emotions are. In fact, no, very funny this is. You see, my God, so entanglement, no? Entanglement and missing and misery and misery. All these things.
Pain,
loneliness,
but it's still
aloneness.
It's pain, but it's still consciousness. That's the double thing. And when you see that, then it dissolves back into the consciousness. So you're not like I was when I arrived today.
No, you're okay. You're beautiful. You're so wonderful person you are. I see, Bhagavan. You are Bhagavan's vibhuti.
But I was hurting.
I was thinking, I was thinking, you know, you are vibhuti yourself. Well, I just name you Vibhuti. You are Vibhuti. Your glory, Bhagavan's glory.
Bhagavan.
So glory.
Glory.
Vibhuti means glory.
Mm.
Bhuti means wealth.
Mm.
Wealth in its various forms.
Vibhuti.
Mm-hmm. Glory. She's Vibhuti.
But I was perceiving some asat, which was my hurt. My senses were perceiving the hurt. But still, I had the understanding that the hurt was consciousness. Dissolves back into the consciousness.
Keep on listening. Keep on coming to the class regularly. You'll understand.
I love it. Keep on coming.
Yeah. Come and sit here. Keep on listening. Just listen.
Okay.
Listen. Okay? Mm-hmm. Everything will be all right.
not try so hard.